Good to be back again here this evening. We want to thank the folks here for the fine hospitality that we've had. Food and fellowship has been tremendous, and we thank you for it. Thank you for your prayers for us as we continue our travels, reporting to the churches. If you will, open your Bibles this evening to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 35 through 38. Jesus, who went about teaching and preaching concerning the kingdom of heaven, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And as I was considering this passage, the laborers have always been few in number, but it is amazing what God can do with those who yield their lives and their hearts to Him and to His leading. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Paul and Silas, wrong passage, Acts 17:6. Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel, and those who opposed them made this comment about those two men: "These who have turned the world upside down." Those who commit themselves to God's leading and God's will can turn the world upside down. And tonight I'd like to just look at some of those who God has called into His field of harvest. It's amazing who He did call. You would think, well, He would call those who are really talented, those who are highly educated, those who have a gift with words, those who can really convince people through their rhetoric about looking to Christ. But that is not who He chose. We see in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 35, here John the Baptist, get the right book here. Excuse me. Here, John the Baptist, he had just baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And the following day, he sees Christ, and there are some men following him. And he says, let me just read it. "Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." And these two disciples who had been following John the Baptist, they left and followed Jesus. Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelled and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And what did Andrew do? He went home and he says, "Hey, Simon, you have got to come and see. We have found the Messiah." And so Andrew tells his brother about the fact that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And then in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 through 11, it tells us, "And it came to pass as the people passed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Guess who was there? It was Simon and Andrew. And it says, "But the fishermen, they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.'" Now, Simon and his brother had already experienced the fact that Jesus was the Christ. They had just listened to him teach the people concerning the coming kingdom. And so when the Lord told him to launch out and let down your nets, Simon, you know, Peter was always a little impetuous and he was always thinking ahead, you know, how does this work? And he says, "Well, we toiled all night and we didn't catch a thing. Nevertheless," he says, "we'll do what you said." And the scriptures tell us that when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And they were bringing the fish in the boat right and left, and the boat was about full and just about to sink. And I called over to John his brother, said, "Hey, you guys, you got to get out here and help. We can't get all these fish out of the net." And they filled both boats with fish and brought them in. Verse 9 says, Peter, concerning Peter, well, let's back up a verse, verse 8. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man.'" Think about that. Peter understood his position and his place. He was a sinner, and he was in the presence of a holy God. It says, "For he was astonished at the draught of fishes." Verse 10, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, for from henceforth thou shalt catch men.'" The first men that God chose to be his disciples were fishermen. By the way, God doesn't call people to be his disciples and to serve him that are couch potatoes. They don't do anything. God wants people to serve him who are already serving somewhere, who are active and willing to work. These fishermen knew what work was. Pulling in a net is no easy task. I remember when I was helping Tyrone with his fish pots. He had about 20 or 30 of them out and 70 feet of water. I go out there and help him pull those things up, and after about the 30th pot, I was ready to go home and take a nap. It was a lot of work. God chooses people who are active and busy to do his bidding. Notice, The Lord also called some other people to be his disciples in Matthew chapter 9. We have the call of Matthew. Now, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "And Jesus passed forth from thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." By the way, y'all love to pay taxes, don't you? I mean, Biden's getting ready to help us out. I hope you enjoy biting the bullet there and paying your due. Tax collectors were hated. They called them publicans and rated them right along with traitors. The people didn't think a whole lot about tax collectors. And some of them were unscrupulous, and Rome didn't care if they got a little extra, you know, to help themselves out. And here the Lord comes by and he calls Matthew, a tax collector, to be his disciple. It tells us that he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house — he was in Matthew's house — behold, many publicans, other tax collectors, and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Notice, the Lord replies, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Lord went and he chose a man that the people thought was a sinner. Yet Matthew became one of Christ's disciples. Notice in John chapter 1, verse 43, he calls some others. John 1, verse 43, it says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip and said, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Philip brought Nathanael to Christ. And Jesus saw him coming and saith, Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And Nathanael has a double take. He says, How do you know me? The Lord tells him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now, we don't have a lot of background about all the people that the Lord called to be his disciples, the 12. But we know that he called men who were common people. They were nobodies in the sight of the people that were in the know. He called others. He called Matthew, the tax collector. He called James, the son of Alphaeus. He called Thomas. Remember Thomas? Doubting Thomas? He called Simon the Zealot. He was a revolutionist. Think about that. The Lord used so many people who were just ordinary people to be His disciples, to propagate the gospel throughout the known world. He even chose a persecutor. What would you think of someone who was complicit in the death of a believer, who persecuted the church, who was zealous for Judaism and was trying to put to death those who put their trust in Christ? I mean, would you think that God would choose a person like that? He met Paul on the way, or Saul on the way to Damascus. Changed his life. You know, the Apostle Paul was one of the few highly educated men that were chosen by God. And He chose him for a specific purpose. He says, "You're going to be my witness to the Gentiles and the kings." I mean, it took someone that could have some influence on those people. And God chose him, a man who had persecuted him. When he met Paul on the road to Damascus, the Lord said, "Paul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks." What was he talking about? Well, when they plowed fields, they plowed them with cattle, and they'd have a stick with a sharp point on it, and if that animal would kick at the plow, they'd prick him with that stick in the heels there so he wouldn't kick. And Paul, or Saul at that point, he was persecuting the church. He thought he was serving God, but he was totally wrong. And he came to realize that the one he was persecuting was the God that he needed to serve. God chose a lot of unlikely people to serve Him, to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And they spread the gospel throughout the known world. And God is still choosing people to serve Him. What's the prerequisite? It requires someone to know Him as Savior, number one. And number two, it requires someone who has a broken and contrite heart, a willing spirit to serve Him, and to go wherever God wants them to go. It doesn't take great talent, but God will equip His saints to the task that He has for them. When He commissioned the disciples after the day of Pentecost, He says, "You shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem." Where was that? That was where they were. And He says, and in Judea, that was the surrounding area around Jerusalem. And then He said, and in Samaria. And then to the uttermost part of the world. God wants laborers in every single location. And those who heeded the call. I think of Philip the evangelist. Who was he? He was a deacon. He became an evangelist. He went to Samaria and saw great results. People trusting in the Lord. And he was in the middle of a big evangelistic time when people were turning to Christ, and the Spirit says, I want you to go out into the desert. Wait a minute. I'm having pretty good success here. I have someone I want you to see out in the desert. And so he goes. And there he's able to take an Ethiopian eunuch and show him Christ. And he goes back to his home country. He was a man of great influence. And the gospel continued to spread through the known world. God's still looking for people who are willing to serve. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be super talented. You don't have to be highly educated. You just have to love the Lord and have a desire to serve Him with all your being. And that's what God wants for His people today. To be willing to serve Him, to be a laborer in His field wherever He calls you. Here in Manhattan, maybe across the state, maybe across the world. The question is this, are you willing to serve Him? Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your ability. It matters what's in your heart. Do you have a heart to serve the Lord? He's looking for laborers. Pastor.
The Bible tells us that it was written for our admonition. It tells us about the examples that the Scripture gives us. And what really is incredible is that those are examples that God has given so that we would learn from those things. And the Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to give you a ministry. And think about that. It could be that person at work. It could be that that neighborhood that you're involved in. It could be a family member. We have great opportunity through social media, through texting and so forth, to touch the lives of people around the world. And the Lord would have us to recognize this, that He is wanting to deal with you. And we could talk about everybody else. We could talk about Paul and Simon and Thomas and these ones that were mentioned. But God wants to use you. Now, Lord, we pray that You would help us to be ready vessels to go into Your mission field. We have read this evening that You are the Lord of harvest, that You want to send forth laborers into Your harvest. We have been singing this week, Lord, send the laborers. And Father, help us to not be thinking that, well, these missionaries that have been to the mission field, they've been called. And it's good that they have been called, but Lord, You want to speak to us. And maybe there is some ministry that You've given us we don't even understand. And yet, Lord, You understand. And Lord, we ask that You would just guide and direct, whether it be through our occupation or through a vision in our own intentions in life, whether it be a man or a woman or a child or an adult. Lord, You have a special place that You want us to be involved in. And Lord, I ask that You would just guide and direct us. Help us, Father. Your word tells us to pray that You would send forth laborers into Your harvest. And that there is a harvest out there. There are people who are open. Now, Lord, You spoke through Brother John this evening that we need to be saved. Lord, if there be someone here that is not saved, Lord, I just ask that you would convict their heart. Or if there's somebody on the internet listening, Lord, I pray that you would help them to come to Christ. And yet, Lord, you have ways to break us and to humble us so that we would be surrendered and that we could say like Peter, that we are sinful. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be fishers of men. And may you use us and help us to be willing. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't require talent so much as it requires a submission to you. And Lord, we know that you will use any talent. You can use education. But Lord, you can also use us, not because of us, but in spite of us. And Father, we ask that you would just somehow just put a fire under us, that we would go out this week and we would share our faith, and that you would just guide and direct in every aspect of what we do. And we'll praise you for it. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet as the pianist plays. Maybe you would like to just come. Wouldn't it be wonderful to say, yes, Lord? If there be anybody here that is saying, well, I'm not sure, but to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. God wants us to say yes to Him. Whatever He is speaking to you about, He would have us to be willing vessels. God is speaking. You're welcome to come. Maybe in your own heart, you just feel like, you know, I need to quit struggling and quit fighting God. Whatever you need to come. You come. Lord, send the laborers. Let's sing this together.